Welcome to Battle Ready. I'm Ricky Chavez. Today, I want to talk about a kind of readiness that every business owner needs to, but many avoid until the pressure is already on the financial readiness. Because in business, you cannot be battle ready if you do not know your numbers. My guest today is Kelly Cochran, CPA and CEO of Everyday CPA Inc. Kelly is a seasoned CPA business strategist, a tax expert, an entrepreneur who has spent decades helping small businesses owners navigate taxes according to cash flow, strategy, and financial decision-making. The conversation today is about clarity, discipline, taxes, AI, and the difference between simply keeping records and truly knowing what's happening inside your business. Hey, Kelly, welcome to Battle Ready.
Ricky, thanks for having me. I love the Battle Ready concept. Well done. Right?
I appreciate it.
It's a war out
nice.
There.
Nice. Right? 100%. As we begin, I want every business owner watching to ask one question. Do I know my numbers well enough to make a strong decision, or am I operating on instinct, stress, or hope? So I'm starting with Kelly Cochran by looking at the real problem behind so many struggling businesses. Most owners are not failing because they have bad business. They're struggling because they don't know how to take care of their money. Bookkeeping, giving your records, financial clarity gives you readiness. So Kelly, tell me a little bit about how can somebody, you know, get ready to be and own their own business?
Well, Ricky, I'm going to challenge what you just said, because I don't think you actually meant what you just said, that they—
Okay, tell me what it is.
They fail, they don't work because they don't take care of their money. I think what you mean is that they take very good care of their money. They know where they're spending it. They know how they're spending it. They just don't get the information on that. I think that's what you really mean on that.
Well, you know what? Honestly, I actually meant that because I'm a prime example. You know, in my own business. And it's funny. I was looking at the show this morning, and I was trying to get ready to, you know, have this conversation with you. And what I did was took my business credit card, I downloaded it, and I threw it into ChatGPT and told it to knock out where I'm spending my money at, because I really don't pay attention to it.
Well, fair enough. Okay, if that's what you mean, then I would 100% agree. But I will say this, when you first made those purchases, when you incurred those expense, you know where you're spending your money at that time.
Oh yeah, I mean, if I'm going to Amazon, I know I'm spending at Amazon.
You know,
but I don't know what it, how it applies to my business, right?
You don't know the end result of that because it's an accounting, it's a pulling it all together issue, and the only reason I challenge that, Ricky, is that I feel like if I don't focus on that part, then I'm kind of blaming it on the business owner. And I don't really think it's the business owner that's guilty of anything wrong. They're running their business. You're running your business. You don't have time to monkey around with financial reporting and pulling together this compilation, nor do you have— are you going to justify spending, I don't know, $1,000 a month on a bookkeeper, right? You got to do what you do best. And it's up to us, I believe, the industry that's in the financial clarity business, to give you something that works for you and not shame you or guilt you if you don't do what you're supposed to do. We got to do what we're supposed to do.
Well, you know, and I agree with that, but I will also, you know, I'm very transparent. I'm that person that takes a look in the mirror, and I want to be totally honest about what I see. And the reality is if you can definitely help me analyze my spending and what's going where, right? But the reality is my decision-making sometimes is the challenge, you know, especially for somebody like me. I have a real estate business, right? And I just have fun. I really, you know, I take a lot of vacations. I do a lot of things. And then at the end of the year, I mean, I'm still doing my taxes for 25.
Yeah, right. That's normal. Yeah. I mean, it's a normal thing, right? And yeah, if you're making, you know, bad decisions, impulsive decisions on your spending, that's another type of issue. And again, I'll put it to the industry. I'm not trying to relieve you of all your culpability here
right.
at all. But I am saying there's shared responsibility on this. is that we owe it to you, we collectively, you know, whether it be, you know, QuickBooks or Excel spreadsheets or tax people, whatever, whoever it is, it's in the business of helping you get financial clarity. You're in the business of closing deals. You should expect financial clarity. And yeah, you're culpable for not insisting on it, but it's just a fine line. I kind of feel like the industry hasn't done a very good job of pivoting and making financial clarity easily accessible to you. And we've been stuck in this since 15th century Luca Pacioli, you know, inventor of accounting, double entry system. And it's a great system. It works, but it also requires people to kind of know how it works and, you know, chart of accounts and reconciliations and categorization and all those things that, frankly, you don't have time to deal with that. I don't think you don't have time for that. You got to run.
So, what do most business owners misunderstand about accounting then?
Well, I would say that most business owners don't understand the language of accounting, right? Revenues, expenses, chart of accounts, reconciliation, all those things I just mentioned to you. I don't know that you, I mean, you're a smart guy. You're a successful business guy, clearly. Do you know what a chart of accounts is? Do you know what?
I do not.
Do you know what a debit? Do you know what a debit and a credit is? Right?
There I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hit and miss. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And a lot of people are hit and miss because it's a language. And what we're doing on our end, just for my company, not that I want this to be a plug about Everyday CPA, but what we're doing is redoing that paradigm. Yes, the double entry system is still a great, elegant, simple system if you understand it. If you don't, it's kind of worthless, right? And so you either get it or you don't. And if you don't get it kind of in full, right, you're going to get bad information. And so what we're doing is trying to redo that with some technology and applications to make it real easy for business owners to see what they have, where they're spending their money, where they're going with collections and all those things that you need to run, to who owes you money, who do you owe money to, all those kind of things. You need that, and we need to give it to you in a way that's easily and readily accessible.
So what is the real difference between bookkeeping and financial clarity?
Bookkeeping is the process of getting to where it's the process of simply recording transactions. It's all historical. It's simply a memorialization of business transactions with certain structures to that, so that it can be organized in a way that you can understand it. So it's simply the recording of transactions, you know, and they're all kind of journal entries. If you've heard that term.
Sure.
Well, you know how teenage girls make journals, right, of their activity, right? Well, this is kind of like, you know, journalizing, you know, they record, you know, girls that were mean to them and boys that were jerks to them, you know, they record that in their journals. Businesses are supposed to record in their journals transactions, date, amount, purpose, vendor, 4 or 5 bits of information. That's it. And bookkeeping is simply the activity of recording all that stuff. Clarity is, once that is compiled, clarity is giving it to the owner, the business owner, timely, accurate, and complete. Those things, they all have to be, it has to be timely given to you, it has to be complete, no missing gaps, and it's got to be accurate so that you can get clarity, you can draw some conclusions about how you run your business going forward. Bookkeeping is historical. Clarity implies forward looking. What am I going to do based on this? Are you spending money? You said you're making dumb decisions. In part, you probably know you're making dumb decisions, right?
100%.
But you don't have the evidence to kind of support that. And you can say, well, I shouldn't do this, right? And clarity gives that to you. Bookkeeping gives you the raw materials for that. But once that gets processed, if you look at it like baking a cake, bookkeeping is the process of putting the eggs together. I don't know how to bake a cake, but you know, that kind of the materials.
Sure.
But materials, clarity is the cake. Is like, oh, this is what I want. And then you eat it and you make good decisions or not, or you give it away or something. But one is backward looking. The other is forward looking so you can run your business.
Okay. What I hear is this is simple but powerful. Business owners do not need to become accountants. They need to have clarity to lead better, act sooner, and avoid making decisions in the dark. You know, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about the financial intelligence and how it should help us actually with the owners. See you in a minute. Welcome back to Battle Ready. Stay connected to this show and every other Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS, or unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. If you're on the move, you can catch the podcast version of www.nowmedia.tv, from business to news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond. Now Media TV is streaming around the clock and ready whenever you are. Now, I'm continuing the conversation with Kelly Coughlin, CEO of Everyday CPA, and now I want to talk about financial intelligence as a leadership tool. In business, your financial reports should be the intelligence briefing. But for many owners, that briefing arrives late, is hard to understand, and doesn't ask what they actually need to know. And I'm making money, but where's the cash going? Can I pay myself? Can I hire? Am I ready for taxes? And, you know, during the break, we talked about this a little bit, you know, of the direction of I want to take the show, because there's so many people in my career field in the real estate industry that are doing very well, but have nothing to show for it. So Kelly, what financial information should every business owner know weekly or monthly if they want to become financial battle ready?
Well, Ricky, there's a lot embedded in that question, but let's talk about, if it's all right, let's talk about your business, right?
Sure.
Your real estate business, okay?
Okay.
You're a service business. And right. That means that your main asset is you doing deals. It's not a plant. It's not technology. It's your reputation. It's your ability to hustle and get deals done. Would you agree with that?
I would.
Okay. And so when your biggest asset is you, then you got to do some things to kind of make up for that, right? And I don't know why this stupid earpiece keeps falling out on me, but you have to do some things to make up for that. And then what you have to do is figure out what is your core asset, and then how can you monetize that core asset there? What can you do to make that asset have residual long-term value? And it's either for you, it's either hire some number two, number three people that can produce for you as you kind of wind down. Are you doing that now at all?
No, so that's interesting you say. You know, early on, I did a lot of reading prior to getting in the business I'm in. And one of the things I read was in a book by Gary Keller, through Keller Williams, says, give yourself an hourly value, never do anything under that value. So right away, I hired a transaction coordinator, somebody to do my paperwork. You know, that's something I don't like to do, something that doesn't get me in front of the public, doesn't get me out there. So that was my first hire. And I did that even before I did my first deal, because I just knew that I didn't want to do paperwork.
Well, yeah, that was... I don't want to debate whether that was the right move or not. But that deals with a different thing. That deals with you being productive today and making sure that you're not wasting time on low value actions when you could be doing higher value action. What we would be talking about is if you were trying to exit, for instance, since you don't have brick and mortar, you don't have technology, all you have is you and then let's talk about you. You've got things that create who you are. You've got your relationships,
right?
You've got your style, your personality, which by God is terrific. I can see that right now.
Well, I appreciate that. That's why I got you on the show to help me out.
Yeah. And you've got contacts and you've got work ethic, right? Anybody in your business, I'm sure you've seen people, the guys that win, guys and girls, women that win, they're hustling, they're working, right? And so you've got your work ethic as an asset, and then you've got your process, right? Of here's how I do it. I use, you know, whatever it is that you've been successful at. You use this, you know, you wherever you buy your leads from, you ever do this, and you do open houses on whatever, and, you know, you have a process.
Right.
So all you can do in a service business, and, you know, frankly, I have the same thing in my business. We do have some technology, right? We're building some cool technology that creates value, and we have a brand name, Everyday CPA. But, you know, other than those two things, all I have is style, contacts, process, efficiency, work ethic, those kind of things. And so what you do is leverage what you have and try to build upon that. And with your business, it would be something like if I had to, if you'd come to me and said, okay, Kelly, I want to exit in 5 years. How do I do that? Because I won't be able to sell my business. Well, I service business, tough to sell, all right? What are people buying? They're buying, if they're not buying you because you want to wind it down, what are they going to buy? They're buying your process. They're buying your leads. They're buying your, if you trained people that have picked it up, you know, learned from you, then they would be buying that. So that's kind of what you have to focus on to get some sort of exit strategy to your business. The other thing is put money away. If you're making a lot of money in real estate now, make sure you're putting money away into like a big, I mean, you're, I don't know, how old are you, Ricky?
63.
You can throw in tons of money into your own retirement plan, right? Just load that thing up, right? So at least when you exit, you've got that going on. You can go to your retirement plan that you've used to reduce your taxes. You put a bunch of money into a solo 401k plan and you match it as a company. And I don't know, we haven't even talked about your issue. Did you sell it? Did you set up an S corporation or C corporate?
What'd didn't you do? Do anything. I'm just a sole proprietor, just running around.
Well, that would probably be something to do. If you're trying to create some residual value, you probably need to start. You could do that and do that for 3 years and build a history there, right? You can put more money into your retirement plan if you do that. If you're doing a sole proprietor thing, you can't put as much in there. But there's a lot of tax things that you could do now, even this late in the game, right? You got 3 more years, right? You're not going to throw it in before 3 years, right?
You know what? So that's kind of the challenge. Obviously, my wife and I talk about, you know, I'm eligible for Social Security. But I also get military retirement because I'm retired military and benefits from that. So it's like, what am I going to do? How do I? And it's also about our lifestyle, what we do, how much we travel. So there's a lot of factors in place. You know, so right now I'm basically just building my brand and continuing to prospect and meet people so that I can, you know, I my daughter works with me, so I'm going to roll the business over to her.
Yeah,
that's great. This way I'm building it for her so that, I'll still have, you know, income out of that.
That's great. To have a family member that can pick it up is a great thing to do.
I think one of the things that always is the challenge is, you know, we've ran, I've been doing this now 9 years, and for 9 years I've been doing it the same way, kind of haphazardly, just not paying attention to anything and living my best life. And now it's to the time like, okay, so what do I do? And there's a lot of people in my same situation. I mean, in your 60s, you know, people are passing away around you, and you're starting to realize, hey, you need to really start living your life. How long are you going to work? What are you going to do? You know what I mean? So it's the individuals like yourself that can help me analyze everything. And I think it's twofold. It'd be like a CPA to help me work my taxes, and then a financial planner to help me with the money I'm saving.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things, though, since I'm a little older than you, Ricky, I think you do have to be concerned about you're in the game now, you're competing. It gives you energy, it gives you enthusiasm, it gives you, you know, hopefully you have higher meaning and purpose than just work. But let's face it, this is what guys do, right? This is what we do. We provide for our family. We hunt and gather. This is what we do. And
right,
when you stop doing that, sometimes bad things happen. You know, I know a lot of guys, you probably do too. They retire, and within a year and a half, the numbers are pretty bad. They're dead, right? They either drink too much, eat too much, don't exercise anymore, or they've lost this grist, this energy to compete. And it sustains us. So keep that in mind. That's beyond what a CPA does. I only tell you that.
Because, I get it.
Yeah.
Hey, so Kelly, if somebody wants to continue a conversation, talk to you about and get some financial guidance as far as this on the CPA realm, how do they get a hold of you?
EverydayCPA.com. They can go on to that website, and there's a place they can set up a Calendly, Zoom link, that kind of thing, and we can have a discussion. I like to begin things with personal interaction. If I can get this earpiece to work properly, then I can it works better. I'm going to ditch this thing at the break.
No, that's fine. So, you know, my takeaway here is that, you know, an owner does not need a 30-page report. You know, the owner needs usable clarity, what comes in, what went out, what is left, and what is owed, and what the risk may be building. We'll take a short break again, and when we return, we'll talk a little bit more about tax readiness, extensions, and why an extension is breathing room, not a strategy. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back. If you're a business owner, self-employed professional, or anyone who's ever filed an extension and then avoided the paperwork for months, which is me, actually, the segment is for you. Financial pressure usually gets worse when you delay what needs clarity. So I'm here with Kelly Coughlin, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's practical. A tax extension gives you more time to file. It does not organize your financial life. It does not clean up scattered records. It does not turn bank statements into like magic stuff that you can give your accountant. Credit cards, apps, spreadsheets, and memory into usable tax information. So Kelly, help me understand. Talk about extensions.
Well, first of all, Ricky, you're not alone, okay? In my experience, I would say that just based anecdotally, of all the, you know, taxpayers that have Schedule C's, which is a self-employment thing, or if they have an 1120S, that kind of thing, partnership, I would say that even those with just rentals, right, a rental property, in my experience, at least 60% file extensions. 60%. And so what does that really mean in terms of the business owner? I have to step back and say, well, why are you running a business? Why are you working 70 hours a week in real estate deals? Why are you working this hard? Is it to pay tax, or is it to deliver wealth, create wealth for you and your family?
Are you asking me that question?
Yeah, just why are you doing
this? No, that's an amazing question. It's, you know, I'm sitting there listening to you and I'm thinking about myself, and you know, I don't have a really good answer. You know, I'm living my good life. I'm don't have an answer. This has been fun for me. I like helping people.
No,
I actually don't, because I'm just living my best life. I travel a lot, you know, buy all the toys, just live.
Well, that's embedded in that is your answer. You're doing this so that you can have maybe you got hung up on the term wealth, right?
Sure.
Wealth to me means change it to standard of living. Okay.
Okay.
If I say, are you doing this to have a nice standard of living, or are you doing this so you can pay taxes to IRS and
definitely not paying taxes, for sure.
For sure. Right?
It's way of life, 100%.
It's a way of life. And so when you find, and I'm trying to get to my point,
okay,
which is extensions are symptomatic of another hidden issue that directly correlates to your ability to achieve the lifestyle that you want. Namely, yes, it results in, oh, I don't have the information to pay taxes. Okay, let's fix that. But the more systemic issue is you're not running your business in a way that where you have financial information, you have financial clarity so that you can make good decisions. And that's the thing that needs to be addressed. Yes, it manifests itself. And when we see extensions, 60% are people that, yeah, they don't have their records ready so that they can prepare a financial return, a tax return. But the more important issue is that they don't have their financial records so that they can run their business well.
So what would you suggest? What would be an answer? Well, what would be a solution?
I tell you one solution, and I don't want this to be a promo or an infomercial for us, but it, you can take our name out of it, and I'll just put it generically, is you need to find someone that can help you get your so that you don't have to hire a bookkeeper, so that you don't have to take away time from doing deals, that can give you the financial information that you want. So A, you can run your business, B, you can file a tax return. What we've done is we have a process where you can upload your tax, your bank statements, credit card statements, all of those areas where you have incurred probably personal and business transactions in there, right? I'm pretty confident your credit card, at least you don't have maybe you don't even have a separate account for your agency there. Do you?
I do. I have a separate account for my real estate, with a credit card that matches it. I have rental property. So I have a separate account for that with a credit card. And then we have our life, you know,
that's
whatever
great.
Left.
That's great. That's excellent. So what we do now is it's not the best way to do this, right? But it works. You send your bank statements in. We do some stuff, cool stuff on our end. We create a financial statement online. You look at it and say, this is personal, this is personal, this is rental, this is real estate, this is this. And it gets done for you. And you don't have to then hire a bookkeeper. You don't have to reconcile accounts. You don't have to do all those things that you, frankly, you won't do. You don't want to do.
And
we don't want you to do it either, because we want you to do deals, right? We want you to run your business.
I know at one time probably 4 or 5 years ago, I had signed up for QuickBooks and had linked all my accounts to it. And then I got all these messages, come in and you got to identify this, that, and the other, which was, I mean, I was spending money, a lot of money, and I was still having to do everything. So I just, that didn't work out for me.
That's why we're doing what we're doing, right? We're eliminating that. Now, you still have to look at transactions to make sure that they're authorized. as in there's not fraud. Like, so we have some indicators that we use. If they're exceptionally large transactions, we draw attention to it for you so you can look at it and say, yeah, this is permitted. Or if there's a potential duplicate, right? Because you're the only one that really knows, did you authorize this? But after that, we do everything else, right? Where our technology is now doing everything else so that you don't have to monkey around with that stuff. And that's the way it needs to be. We feel like this is the next generation, you might say, in it's not eliminating the double entry system, but it's leveraging that. It's taking what the good part of that and in essence kind of replacing the need for you to do all that work that you just talked about with QuickBooks. You had so many things that you had to do. Like, what am I paying you guys for? Right? Why?
Right. 100%.
Yeah.
So why do extensions create so much stress for business owners, even though they're meant to provide more time?
Because they don't have their transactions. You know, that journal we talked about, and I think it was episode one, that history of the raw materials to bake the cake, right? They haven't put those raw materials together. They haven't collected them all, right? And that's the first part, is getting those things. And so that's why people say, I just don't have my numbers together. I don't have my records together. But if you can take that part out of it by saying, don't worry about your numbers. All we need is your bank statement and your credit card statement. That's it. Okay. You don't have anything else to do. Then that works. Okay.
Sure. So what does extend, compile, complete mean in practical terms?
Well, the extension is what you've done. The compilation is what we do. We pull that together. Or what you would have to do if you did it on your own, you get some time, you then try to pull it together, and then you complete the return. So
gotcha.
All you've done is extended. The compilation is the hardest part, because you can't complete it, file the tax return, until the compilation is done. And so what we do is help extract the data, process it, compile, so that you can compile it. You look at it, say, yeah, I like these numbers, right? And then you can get it done. And then ultimately we'll get that done for people in January, not in April. They may want to extend still, right? But you get it done much earlier.
So what are some of the big mistakes that people do make when they try to recreate a full year of business activity at tax time?
Well, it normally comes down to this. If they're having to kind of, the term I use is hack their way through. Do you know what I mean by that? They're trying to.
Sure. 100%.
They're hack their way through this and try to get their numbers together. And, you know, we get things that are handwritten on a note, which is fine. All right. We actually have, our AI can read that now. We got an actual journal from this woman who wrote her expenses on a calendar thing, like one of those calendars with little squares for each day.
Sure.
And she wrote, and then we have this technology that would extract that and put it into a format that's readable. Now, we don't want to be doing that. It's kind of costly to have to do that for us, but that's the process. Just get the data in whatever way you can get it. But our thought is step one, get your statements, get your credit card statements, get your bank statements. At least you can put your hands on those things, right? And if you can't, you go online and snag it from the bank, download it, send it in, and then it gets processed. That's only kind of the temporary fix, but we're hoping that when you show people that, look at all these expenses that you can accumulate, and obviously you got to justify it, and they have to be business related, But you mentioned you like to travel, right? Well, I wonder, I'm pretty confident that when you travel, I have no idea where you go, but you probably talk to real estate agents when you're there. You probably
all
look
the time
at property. Yeah.
And we do. But listen, we're going to talk back. We'll come back to that in a minute. We run out of time and we're going to go to this next commercial, but we'll come back to that when we get back. See you guys in a minute.
Got it. All right.
Welcome back to Battle Ready. Stay connected to Battle Ready and every Now Media TV favorite. Live or on demand anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. If you're on the move, you can catch the podcast version of Now Media at www.nowmedia.tv, from business to news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond. Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. So now I'm closing out with the conversation with Kelly Collin, and a couple of things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about a spreadsheet. We're going to talk about AI. You know, in today's world, AI is just doing so many things. They're a force multiplier. Everybody's so scared of AI, but if you really think about it, you can use it to help yourself get better. Hey, Kelly, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Ricky.
All right, so we talked about compiling everything together and downloading bank statements and things like that. What I use is I have a Excel spreadsheet where I go into all my different bank statements, this, that, and the other, and I download everything and I input it into the spreadsheet and I go from there. And then I categorize it that way. So you talk about AI. Tell me how AI helps you and can help the business owner.
Well, that's a monster topic there. And I'll say this, AI is going to help and hinder different parts of your business. Certain parts of a business, it'll help. Other parts, it'll hinder or hurt. It could mean that there's just many facets to it. It's as influential or impactful as the internet was in the 80s, right? When you and I were kind of starting our careers, right? And remember how in the 80s, with the launch of the internet, how some companies totally lost it. Travel agents, if you recall, right? Remember, we used to go and get a ticket. People today don't realize this, but when you traveled, you had to order from a travel agent and go pick up the ticket, the hard copy ticket. Well, those people got completely wiped out. And it's that similar type of activity that's going to happen, or influence that's going to happen with this AI. It has a different type of influence, but it's further, you know, there's a book written called The World is Flat, right? And what the internet did was flatten the competitive landscape. So you didn't have this situation where big companies could make it, small companies could. So it leveled the playing field there. AI is also going to level the playing field. But whenever you do that, there are winners and losers. And what we try to do is encourage business owners to really look at their source of revenues and their expenses to see what is the potential impact on this. Will it result in savings? Can we reduce labor costs by reducing kind of manual processes, right? Is there different technologies? We feel like there's going to be a huge benefit to us, because we're leveraging that technology so that, I mean, we can prepare tax returns for probably 40% of the cost. And I'm going to pass that on to clients, because I'm not just going to absorb higher margins, because if I don't pass that on cost, they're going to find the next guy that also reduced his cost by 40%. So it's going to drive prices down. It will. It also drives manual labor processing out. that's going to cause problems for certain types of employees that are doing manual work. So there's a lot going on in this industry, and all we're doing is telling people, look at your company, don't jump too fast on anything, let it sort itself out, but don't be an ostrich and stick your head in the sand and say, oh, it's terrible, or oh, it's great, right? It's going to cut both ways, and be very methodical and careful about how you look at AI, but don't dismiss it as some evil thing that's going to kill the world. There are some risks, but man, the opportunities are enormous, I think.
So where can AI really help small business owners get better financial clarity?
Well, I don't want to keep promoting what we're doing, but what we're doing is using AI in part, coupled with AI. AI isn't in itself intelligent until you train it and educate it. And I mean, it's smart, but not super intelligent, right? And so what AI needs to be done, you have to take subject matter experts that interface with AI capabilities, and they're create the superpower there. It isn't inherently, it could still be beneficial, certainly, but it's the synthesis, it's bringing those two together, subject matter experts like you in the real estate industry, right? Coupling that with the kind of the tools that are available. It's almost like, you know, I don't know if you've ever had the luxury of working with one of these handyman guys that, you know, did maintenance, and they have all these tricks and tips on how to do plumbing and that kind of stuff. I worked on the summer with a guy that just was a master of all this stuff, plumbing, electrical, you know, he hacked his way through, but him as a hack was way better than me. And I learned all these kind of cool things, right? That's kind of what AI has to have. You have to take that core talent and connect it with a subject matter expert, and thereby you get a really, really good result. That's kind of what we're focusing on, is bringing those two together for the benefit. Ultimately, it has to be for the benefit of the buyer, the consumer, right? Because if you don't keep your eye on that ball, sooner or later, somebody else is going to keep the eye on that ball, and they're going to take market share from you. And that's really what we're trying to do. We expect to take market share from certain providers in the tax and accounting business who are stuck in legacy methods and systems. And those companies are going to have a challenge. I'm not going to mention any companies by name, but if they're stuck in their legacy system, they're going to have a tough time.
So what should business owners do this week to become more financial battle ready?
I would set a business owner should say, be clear, what do I need to more effectively run my business? And I don't think they need to know everything about it, but I'm a big proponent of the business owner identifying 1, 2, 3 metrics, 3 numbers that he needs to monitor and keep track of. And certainly revenue is a number, right?
But right.
Cash balance, those are obvious numbers, but I'm talking a little more hidden numbers than those things. Right. But it's if you're manufacturing, right? Or if you're a builder, or if you're a real estate guy, what does it cost you, truly cost you, to get a client and close the deal? Right. So you got your revenues that you have to spend for outbound marketing, all that kind of stuff. Are you capturing all those expenses? Are you really pulling that in? Right, all in. So you have your total spend for last year on digital ads, on the multi, what do you call the service that you get that lists all the properties, and
MLS.
Yeah, MLS, and you know, all those costs, right? Before you can do one deal, right? You got to do that.
Right.
And then you have the incremental costs, the variable costs of the ad spend on digital ads, on these different providers that give you leads. I don't know if you do any of that stuff, but
I don't, but I do stuff. So I pay somebody to do my social media, you know, stuff like that.
Right. Making sure. So for you, that number is, are you getting an ROI on those, on that spend, and looking at the, and demanding that you sharpen your pencil on that ROI. So what should a business owner find that metric? Find, remember that show of Curly and those guys that not Blazing Saddles. It was
the Three Stooges,
Billy Crystal, and
oh,
and he said, "What's that? What's the?" He said, "Robert Stack said, there's only one thing you need to worry about in life, one thing." And Billy Crystal goes, "Well, what is it?" Is to find out what that one thing is, right? What is the one thing? And in business, there's one, two, or three things that are really critical to the success of the company and the growth of the company. And each company is different, right? But there's some common things. But business owners should know what that is. If you're a trucker, if you're a long-haul trucker, a critical thing that you have to deal with is probably fuel costs, right? And, but you can't control that. But what you can control is your equipment. And those guys are always having to dump money into trucks and that are equipment breakage and that kind of, that's their one thing is failure, business.
So, hey, Kelly, real fast. I don't mean to cut you off. Yeah. One real quick, how can somebody get a hold of you and talk to you? We're running out of time. When's the place for them to reach out to you?
EverydayCPA.com. Every day, there's a Y in every, EverydayCPA.com. You can get anything you need. You can find me on there, make an appointment. I'd love to talk with anybody that needs help. I'm here.
All right. We thank Kelly Coughlin for joining us today, sharing his insight on financial clarity, tax readiness, AI and accounting, and the discipline business owners need to make better decisions better before problems become. And this way, they can always become battle ready, run their business, and do great things. Thanks for joining us today. We'll talk to you soon.